Okay, I just wanted to go through a comment of the Gemara that hopefully many of you have seen, and we can try to learn it together, and I think it has a strong message for us as B'nai Torah at the stage in our lives that we find ourselves. So the Gemara on the very bottom of Hey Amid Beis, after a long daf of Agadata, has the story of Rav Idi Avua de Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. So before we start, I just want to point out that it's very interesting that we call him Rav Idi, and he was the father of Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. So if you look in the Masoras HaShas over here, so it's possible that that's not exactly, that might not have been exactly accurate, but there was apparently a more famous individual, Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, and this is Rav Idi, his father. So it's interesting that whatever we're going to say about this individual, it's important to keep in mind that the Masorah continued through his children, right? Meaning whatever he did, worked. So it's something always to think of, that I'm in a position in my life where it's fortunate or unfortunate. I really shouldn't spend too much time judging people. You know, maybe you shouldn't spend any time judging people unless you're actually a dying. But nevertheless, the way I get to see people is through their children. So generally speaking, sometimes you'll have a parent who on the outside appears to be a little bit rough around the edges, but you see their children and they're so refined and they're so have such good midos. It tells you that this parent, right beneath the surface, there's a certain fine kite to them as well. You know, that it came through much more obviously in the children than, and unfortunately sometimes you see the opposite. It's not always true. Children have bechira chafshis just like their parents have bechira chafshis, and every parent was once upon a time a child. So it's hard to know exactly where to lay the credit and where to lay the blame. But nevertheless, it's important to keep in mind. The Gemara is telling you right away, didn't have to say he was the father of Yaakov Bar Idi, but it Bedafka says that Rav Idi was the father of Yaakov Bar Idi, to tell you that this was a great individual and the greatness of his Masorah continued. So, what was his story? So, have a ragil b'havi azel tulasa yarchi b'urcha. So his normal practice was that he would be on the road for 3 months, and he would go to the Beis Medrash once for one day. So he would only make it to the Beis Medrash one day out of every 3 months. So the other Rabbanim in the Beis Medrash kind of made fun of him. They called him a yeshiva bacher of one day, the one day yeshiva bacher, meaning that the term Bar Be'Rav D'Chad Yoma is an insult. When they want to say everybody knows this, they say Kol Bar Be'Rav D'Chad Yoma. Anybody who's been in yeshiva for one day, he knows this, right? So, meaning if you went to yeshiva on the first day, they already taught you this. So they made fun of him that he comes to yeshiva for one day, you know, and he's like every 3 months he's starting from the first grade again. So Rabbi Yochanan didn't like this too much, but So Cholish Daite, he felt bad. Kari Anavshe, and he quoted the pasuk Chok L'Reyeu. Yeah, right. Says I'm like a laughing stock. Everybody makes fun of me. So Amar Le Reb Yochanan B'Matusa Minach Lo Ta'anish Lu Rabbona. So he basically said, please be mochel them. I don't want anybody to get punished, even though they're deserving of punishment. I don't want you to be angry or feel bad about anybody else, and I want you to feel good. So I'm going to try to take care of the problem. So what happened? So Navig Rabbi Yochanan Bei Midrash Vedarsh. Rabbi Yochanan went into the Beis Medrash and he darshened. It's interesting. I think the Ben Yoyada points out over here that why does it say Navig Bei Midrash Vedarsh? There's a lot of times it'll just say he darshened. So he wanted to say that this was something the Rabbanim were doing wrong, and he could have started shouting it from the rooftops. He could have gave a drush in the streets. He says, no. When you need to give tochacha, so you give tochacha to the people, specifically the people who need it, and you don't just shout it from the rooftops that anybody else can hear it. You keep the problems in-house, right? In sports, it's very makbid that if a certain athlete or a coach has a problem, so what's the worst thing you can do? The worst thing you can do is what everybody does nowadays, is you mouth off to the press, or nowadays you mouth off on social media about what your teammates are doing wrong, and it's considered, what do you mean? You have a problem, you take care of it in-house, right? That used to be the way that men took care of problems. Now the way they take care of problems, they get their Instagram followers to take care of it. But once upon a time, it was that if you're a man, you deal with your problems in-house. You don't shout it from the rooftops and say that everybody has a problem. So Rav Yochanan was makri. He says, where am I going to talk about this? I'm talking about it in the Beis Medrash. I'm not talking about it in public. And there's another reason why he Davka spoke about it in the Beis Medrash, because the nature of this drasha is a little bit misleading. There's a Gemara in Meseches Menachos on Daf Tzadik Tes, which says that if the situation arises where a person can't possibly learn any Torah, so he can be Yotzei with Kriyash Mashal Shachris and Kriyash Mashal Arvis. He's Mekayim the Pasuk of Lo Yomri Sefer HaTorah Mipicha V'Gisa B'Yom V'Laila, so he could be Yotzei V'Gisa B'Yom V'Laila with Shachris and Arvis of Kriyashma, right? Because those are words of Torah, and therefore it's enough. But then the Gemara continues, and it's a machlokis. One opinion says it's usur to tell this to an Am Haaretz, because if an Am Haaretz hears this, he's never going to learn anything. He's like, oh, I'm Yotzei with Kriyashma. So I'm from Jew. I say Kriyashma every day, so it's twice a day. I'm Yotzei Talmud Torah. And one Mandamer says, no, mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to tell this to an Am Haaretz. Why? Because here you have this Am Haaretz who holds that he has no shaychus to Torah whatsoever. In reality, you should tell him, no, you have a shaychus to Torah. You're being Mekayim Begisa Yom Laila every single day. So, how do you solve the machlokas? How do we paskin? So a friend of mine once suggested something very good. He said that, it's a mitzvah to learn this Gemara with an Am Haaretz. It's a mitzvah to teach this machlokas to an Am Haaretz, because how many people hold that they're an Am Haaretz? Especially a guy who bothered to come to the shir, or a guy who bothered to listen to the rabbi's speech. So bedafka, he'll hear the Gemara, so everybody who hears the speech in general thinks he's talking to the other guy. But so this guy will say, he'll go home cheshmining, there's some people out there, not me, but there's some people out there who are Amei Aretz, and some achlokes whether you should tell them that they could be Yotzei Kriyash Mashal Shachas, Kriyash Mashal Arvis, and Mele, he's a little more into learning than he was before. So he's holding in the machlokas, should you tell this to an Am Haaretz or not? Because, and he heard the message, really, it's only a bidyevet, sheba bidyevet, that you Yotzei Kriyash Mashal Shachas Arvis. So Mele, he'll improve himself based on that. So this is why Rabbi Yochanan perhaps went to the Beis Medrash and Darshan. Va'osi yom yom yidrashun, v'das darki yechbatsun, ki v'yom dorshin. I'm sorry, so ask Rabbi Yochanan, v'chi v'yom dorshin oso, v'layla in dorshin? Oso says specifically, you seek me out, and you try to know the ways of my, the ways of my paths on a daily basis. See, so what does it mean? You only learn b'yom? He says, no, you learn b'yom and b'layla. Ela lo melecha kol osig b'torah afilu yom echad b'shana ma'ala alav akasuv ki'ilu osig b'kol ha'shana kula. It's to teach us that if a person learns Torah one day a year, it's as if he learned the entire year. V'chein b'minis pranis. But it's also true in reverse, that if you're doing something negative, dichsiv b'mispar hayom asher terachim asher tartem esha'aretz. By the Meraglim, it says that they got punished 40 years in the Midbar, because that's what they were spying it out for 40 days. They only did it for 40 days, not 40 years. That if you do an Avera one day of the year, then it's considered as if you did the Avera for the entire year. So the question really is, how is this possible that you can learn Torah one day a year and it's like you learned the whole year? I mean, no, you didn't. You only learn one day. You don't know very much if you learn one day in the year. You didn't cover very much. You didn't gain very much. So how is it possible that if you learn Torah one day a year, or if you do an Avera one day a year, it's like you did it for the whole year? So a lot of different explanations have been given, but l'chora, the simplest explanation is along the lines of another statement of Rav Yochanan from the Gemara Meseches Brachos on Davhei Amid Beis. Gemara in Brachos, Davhei Amid Beis, has this following story. Rabbi Elazar Cholash. Rabbi Elazar got sick. It's in the middle of the Yisurin sugyas. I don't know if you guys are familiar with those agaritas in the beginning of Meseches Brachos, but they have a whole amid where they talk about people who go through Yisurin, and they ask them back and forth, are you enjoying the Yisurin? Not so much. They all answer, not so much. So Rabbi Elazar got sick. Ala gabei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan went to visit him. Chaza dava gana bebeis. Afel, he saw that he was sitting in, he was sleeping in a dark room. He was, so galyi ledarev enough al nara. He rolled up his sleeve and he revealed his arm, and somehow light emanated from it, and it lit up the room. Chaz yedava kabochi, Rabbi Elazar. So when the light shone into the room, so he realized that Rabbi Elazar had been crying. Amar le, amai kabochis, why are you crying? Imishim Torah deloifshis, if you're saying because you're not able to learn Torah because you're too sick. So shaninu, we learned. Whether you learn a lot or you learn a little, as long as you're doing it l'shem shamayim, that's good enough. And then he goes through a couple of other possibilities. If it's because you're not so wealthy, not everybody's able to accomplish both in life. Some people are rich in Torah, some people are rich in wealth, in finances. But very few people are able to accomplish both. Here and there, you find a person who's very wealthy and he's also a great Talmud Chacham. But mostly not. V'imishum b'nei, and he says, if it's because of children, I don't remember what Rav Elazar's story was with children, but he said, Dein garma dasira abir. Here is the bone of my 10th son. Rav Yochanan lost 10 sons in his lifetime, and when he lost his 10th son, he took a little bone from the 10th son, smaller than the size of a lentil, that could have been metame ba'oel, whatever, and he would hold it with him, and he would bring it to be Menachem Avelim. And meaning the number one thing of Nichum Avelim is that you should feel Imo Anochi Betzara, right? People make a huge mistake of when they go to Nichum Avelim, they're like, oh, I'm going to say the thing that solves this guy's problem, right? So that's why there's inarguably, the place where the dumbest things in the world are said is a Shiva house. Right, you will not find people who will say dumber things than those who go to do Nichum Avelim. Like, because and it comes from a desire to do good. It comes from a person saying the goal of my coming to the Shiva house is to solve this person's problem, and I came up with the most brilliant, insightful, wittiest thing to say that's going to explain to this person exactly why this person died and exactly where in Gan Eden or Gehenna this person is. You get both, don't worry. I'm going to take care of everything. And Nebuch, it leads to what you would imagine it leads to. But it really does come from a good place. But really, the goal of being Menachem Avelim is simply to share the burden. Sit with the person. If the person wants to talk, he talk. If the person doesn't want to talk, just sit with them. Just be the same. Just tell them, I'm here for you. That's it. If you want to unload on me, unload. That's it. If you don't want to unload, if you just want to sit here and schmooze, that's also good. Right? So that was Rabbi Yochanan's goal. Dein garma dasira abir. Whatever you're feeling, I feel it. Trust me. Whatever you suffered in loss, I also suffered in loss, and I'm here to be mishtatif in your pain. Okay, but back to the actual story. So Rabbi Yochanan said, if you're upset because you can't learn, you shouldn't feel bad, because whether you're able to learn a little or you're able to learn a lot, it's all Hashem Shamayim. Meaning, Hashem made you sick. He said you're not going to be able to learn Torah properly the way you used to. But you shouldn't think that's you're getting less credit for that than when you were able to learn a whole day. Because that's the situation you find yourself in now. And l'chora, that's what Rabbi Yochanan means in our Gemara as well. That if a person is in a situation where he's able to learn all day, then he's supposed to learn all day. If a person is in a situation where he can learn one day every 3 months or one day a year, then he gets credit for that. Because that's what's available to him. And when you have a situation where Rav Edi was only able to learn one day every 3 months, so how is the cheshbon working? That he had a job which made him work for 3 months straight before he could come to the base medrash. Now you have to remember, in those days the Torah Shebaal Peh was not written down, so it's not like he could bring a whole bunch of svarim with him on the road. He couldn't be listening to shiurim online. Because there were no shiurim online. They only had dial-up in those days. It was very slow downloads. It was no good. But the point is that he was only able to learn that one time. But Kol Zman that he was working, he wanted to be learning. He wanted to be able to come. But he was a good worker and he was an honest man. And therefore, he took his work time seriously. But the second he was able to take a day off and go to the Beis Medrash, he went. And then when he showed that Kol Zman that I'm working, I really also want to be learning. I just can't. So he got credit for all of that time that he was not able to make it to the Beis Medrash, because that was begeder onus rachmana patre, that you wanted to come but you weren't able to, because when you work you have to take your work seriously and you do a good job, and therefore he wasn't able to come. And on the flip side, a person who wants to be doing an avera, but Nebuch, he's too busy working, he's too busy, he lives in a frum community, he wants to do this horrible thing, but he lives in a frum community, he can't get away with it. So finally, after weeks and weeks and weeks of having to hold himself back, he gets out of town somewhere, and he's able to go in a place where no one knows him, and no one realizes he's a frum Jew, and he goes and does this avera. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, if this guy could have been doing this avera all along, he would have been doing it every single day. But he was only able to pull it off this one time because of, outside forces. It was Anas Rachmana Patre. He couldn't do the Avera because it was impossible for him to pull it off. So Mela, he's considered to have been doing it the whole time. So our desires and our situation is demonstrated by what we do when we're finally able to do it. And if a person has a situation where he really wants to be learning more Torah, so if he wants to get credit for the time where he can't be learning, he has to then take the time where he's able to learn and use it properly. And Rav Tzedek HaKohen in the Pri Tzadik explains that obviously this Gemara is not talking about a person who has more time to learn. If that person had more time to learn and he only goes to learn one day a year, so he gets credit for one day a year, because he didn't take the time that he had and use it for the right things. He used it for all kinds of other things. And listen, I want to be clear. We're in a situation where we have limited time to learn Torah. We're in a situation where we might not be able to put the kind of day in that we want or that we're used to from the last year or two of our lives. But the flip side is also true. Meaning, if you have a guy and he's in yeshiva, so I don't know what the yeshiva sdarim are exactly. Let's pretend for argument's sake, the yeshiva sdarim call for a person to learn 9 hours a day, 10 hours a day, right? So this person is learning 6 hours a day. So if you say, wow, this guy's learning 6 hours a day, unbelievable. So that's one way to look at it. But the unfortunate reality is that he is engaged in full-on bittul Torah for 3-4 hours a day. Meaning he has 9 hours a day to learn. Now that's not, there are 24 hours in a day. So if you think about that, so he's got 9 hours a day to learn. Let's say he's the world's slowest davener. So he has an hour and 40 minutes a day to daven. So it's not true. There are people who daven slower. I was listening to Rav Asher Weiss's weekly shiur, and he was describing the tfilos of his Rebbe, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, and he said that he would daven normally. Shacharis would be every on a regular day. Shacharis would be a 2-hour affair, and mincha and Maariv would be, 45 minutes, say half hour each. He said one time the Munkacher, the Minchas Elazar, was visiting through Kloisenberg, and he asked, so in those days, he said it was common that you'd visit the Morad Asra. If you were coming through a place, you would visit the Rav of that town. So he wanted to go meet with the Kloisenberg. He was much older than Kloisenberger Rebbe, but he wanted to go meet with him and say Shalom Aleichem, that he was in town. And they said, we can't come right now. He's in the middle of davening Shacharis. So they said, where is he holding? So he's holding by Vayivarech David. So he says, no. Which one is he holding by, Vayivarech or David? So he said he was known for his slow davening. So he wanted to be a little clearer on where he was holding in davening. But Lamaisa, you're not davening more than 2 hours a day. So you figure, and then you have meals. You have to eat 3 meals a day, and include snacks, right? So you have 9 hours a day to learn, and then you have 2 hours a day to daven, and then you have another 2 hours a day for meals. So what are we up to now? Right, we're up to 11 hours. So you could sleep now out of 24 hours, so that gives you 13 hours to sleep, or to hang out, or to play. So 9 hours a day is not asking that much. Right? 9 hours a day is not asking that much. And yet, this guy, he's in yeshiva, he's learning 6 hours a day. See, 6 hours a day, so 24 minus 6, I'm not that bright. How many is that? 18. So 18 hours a day he's not learning. 6 hours a day he is learning. Saying it's not working that hard. Trust me, whatever job you end up going into, except my job, you'll work harder than that. So 6 hours a day of learning is a lot of wasted time. Mashenkin, a guy who's a counselor, he's on sports staff or whatever. So he's got whatever, how many hours a day to learn? He's got maybe 4 hours a day to learn. So if that guy's learning 4 hours a day versus the guy who's got all day to learn is learning 6 hours a day, the guy's learning 4 hours a day is getting a lot more credit than is getting a lot more credit than the guy who's learning 6 hours a day in yeshiva and is bottling the rest of the day. So obviously, on one hand, the guy in yeshiva learning 6-7 hours, it feels like he's doing a lot. But compared to what he's capable of, he's doing way, way less. And the guy who's learning 4 hours a day while working, he's accomplishing way more than a guy who is, you know, who's in yeshiva and learning a few more hours than that. So it's important to keep that in mind. Now, to be clear, a guy who's learning 6 hours a day will end up knowing more Torah than a guy learning 4 hours a day. That's just the way the math works. So on one hand, you're still learning more. On the other hand, it's a question of what you're doing with the time that's allotted to you. So if you have a situation where you're available to learn for a certain limited amount of time, you have to take advantage of that time and make sure that in the allotted time that you're learning, it's megala milsam the rest of the day. It shows what you would have been doing kol zman that you were working and unable to learn. Now, there are some people who they can't hack it. They can't even learn for that short amount of time that they're given. But maybe they can hack an hour a day. Maybe they can hack 45 minutes a day. Maybe they can do a little bit. Whatever you're capable of doing, Kadosh Baruch Hu understands. Now, don't undersell. Don't say, well, I have 3 hours, but I can only learn 40 minutes of those 3 hours. Don't undersell yourself. Make sure you're being honest in your assessment. But nevertheless, you have to realize that if you learn to the maximum of your potential that you're capable of doing, there's tremendous reward in that, and there's tremendous understanding that you get schar as if you were learning as much as you possibly could. Now, just to end with one idea, is that you guys are now at the age where I think most of you, the adults that are in your lives, now whether you consider those adults to be B'nai Torah or not, generally speaking, the people who come from the modern Orthodox community, I think a lot of us, especially if we've just been to yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael, we don't think that the adults around us relate very much to the experience that we just had. We think that, like, oh, if only you knew, if only you had been where I've been, so you would understand where I'm coming from right now. If only you had been on fire with the rischa daraisa that I had, you know, in this past year or two, so you'd be wanting to learn just like I want to learn, right? So you guys are old enough. When I was a kid and I came back from Eretz Yisrael, so most of the adults had not been at least 1 year in Eretz Yisrael. Most of the adults didn't become a popular thing until probably 10 years or 15 years older than I am. But by now, most of your parents and most of the adults had been 1, 2, 3 years in Eretz Yisrael. And yet, we still feel that way. We still feel, oh, they don't understand. They haven't been where I've been. They've been where you've been. Not only that, they didn't have phones. They certainly didn't have smartphones when they were in yeshiva. And when they were in yeshiva, you know what they did? They learned. Probably more than us. You know, probably more. And they were on fire just like we're on fire. So what happened? So what happened? Why aren't they on fire now? So first of all, don't be so quick to judge. Some of them really are. Meaning if you have a guy who's working a very difficult job, and that's most jobs, and he still schleps himself out of bed every morning to go to the Daf Yomi, and he finds a Chabura, and he goes to Hashkama Minyan Shabbos so he can learn B'Chabura after davening, and he finally has a Chabrusa at night for a half hour. That's a lot of effort, trust me. It's a lot of effort to do. Way more effort than a guy is learning 6-7 hours a day out of a 24-hour day in yeshiva. Way more. But there are plenty of people who are learning nothing. And these are guys who are learning Shana Aleph 12, 14 hours a day. Shana Bet 14 hours a day. They came to... I have friends who were madrichim with me in NCSY Kollel who were with me in smicha, learn, have smicha, you know, they don't open a sefer anymore. Saying, learning 0 hours a day. There's a guy who once upon a time knew Yoredeya very well. So, what's the pshat? Where did it come from? It's because you guys don't realize it's very hard to work for a living and take care of a family and live a frum life just with the basics, just with 3 minyanim a day or maybe shachris every day, maybe chapa mincha at work. I don't know, but it's very hard to do it. And to also be koveitim haTorah, you cool off very, very, very quickly. Not everyone does. Many people maintain it. Many people achieve more after that. But you should never think that because you were on, because you have experienced what it means to get excited about learning, that people who are no longer excited about learning never were. It's just that life happens and it takes it out of you. And it really, and if you want to be the type of person who life does not take it out of him, now is a great opportunity where you have a fraction of the experience of what it's like to be koveya itim latorah, of going out there, working to the best of your ability, and realizing that when I have my free time, when I have those moments, I gotta get into the base medrash. I have to use the time well. You know, if you have guys who they're able to, you know, they've had a long day, and time to come learn at night, whether it's to listen to a shir, whether it's to have a night seder, but what am I supposed to do? It's already 9:30, 9:45, 10 o'clock at night. How am I supposed to learn now? I'm like, Lemaisa, when you're at work, if you're a lawyer, that's when you're going to have time to learn. When it's 10 o'clock at night, and hopefully you'll be a good family man, and you'll come home, and you'll try to, you know, share some of the burden with your wife and with the kids and everything, but that's when you're going to have time. And if you can't pull it off now, I have bad news for you. It ain't going to happen later. You know, now's the time to teach yourself what it means to take the available time for learning and to use it properly. You know, there are people who, you know, whether you go to YU or you go to some other college, and there are guys saying, like, I don't have time to learn because I'm so busy working. You know, if you're taking 17 credits, 17 and a half credits, let me tell you something. You have time. You have a lot of time. But because you're not in a situation where the time is so obvious, carved out, and basically, if you're not learning, you're basically sleeping or sitting around doing absolutely nothing. So it's not as obvious to you, so you can trick yourself into thinking you have no time. If a guy says at 10 o'clock at night, I'm too tired to learn. So the one question I want you to ask yourself at that moment is, what time will I be going to sleep tonight? And if the answer is 2 a.m., then you have some problems. You have some problems. So it's 10 o'clock at night, and I'm so tired, I can't learn. But you're also not going to sleep for 4 hours. So what are you doing for the next 4 hours? I'm sorry, like, to be brutal and honest, but I don't know, to be nice and lie is not much better, you know. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, when we're too tired or we're too busy or we're too stuck with other things to accomplish in our avodas Hashem, what's the alternative? So those are the both sides of the coin that this Gemara throws at us, right? On one hand, a person who's Osek in Torah one day a year, if that's the time that's allotted to him, he gets schar for the whole day, for the whole year. On the other hand, we can't undersell the amount that's given to us. And Be'ezra Hashem, if we take advantage and we see the opportunities that are presented in front of us, not just in Talmud Torah, but in tefillah and in spiritual growth, and in general, I think we'll find that that they are there, and we have the ability to accomplish. And you know, they. I know I said I was ending already. Sorry, but just one quick 2 second story from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. So they once asked Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that if I only have a half hour a day, what should I learn? Should I learn Gemara or should I learn Musar? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, you should learn Musar. Why? Not because Musar is more important than Gemara, but because if you learn Musar, you're going to realize you have way more than a half hour a day to learn. So it's important to keep that idea in mind, and I wish everyone atzlocha.